Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, they need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, the official partner of the NFL.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to this Thursday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on episode 4 this week of 5. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any platform. Again, you're getting 4 to 6 Eagles podcasts a week downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to the show, or you can always check them out as well on the desktop on lockedoneagles.com. There's no other Eagles podcast, ladies and gentlemen, out there that are posting more content than me and Gino, and we're always talking birds after the show as well. You can follow me at DiBiase, L-O-E. Since it's Thursday, you know, Wednesdays are always Wednesday, which we did yesterday along with Stock Up, Stock Down. So we've got 3 other shows you can find from this week. Obviously, Wednesday, every Wednesday, and then today, Thursday, it's Crossover Thursday. So I sat down with Kevin Ostreicher of Locked On Ravens to preview this matchup, another daunting one for the birds. Ladies and gentlemen, this gets harder and harder as the season goes on. The Eagles have the hardest remaining schedule in the NFL, and at 1-3-1, that's pretty scary to think about, but they're only a half a game out of first place in the NFC East, so even with that tough schedule, they still have an opportunity here, even, you know, 2 games below 500, I guess you could say 2.5, with the record, with the schedule remaining, with all the injuries. Normally you'd say the season's over already, like a quarter of the way through the season, but it's not, because the Eagles are in the NFC East, and so they put up a fight against a superior opponent last week in Pittsburgh. They had an opportunity to win that game. Let's see if Carson Wentz can pull a rabbit out of the hat again this week against Baltimore, and see if they have a chance against Lamar Jackson and this Ravens offense that's electric on the ground and through the air, and it's a great opportunistic defense as well that is second in the league in turnovers this year. So it's a tough task for the Eagles to try to avoid a 1-4-1 start to the 2020 season. So again, I'm going to talk with Kevin Ostreicher, get into the Eagles offense against the Ravens defense, and then vice versa, get into everything behind enemy lines and preview Eagles-Ravens coming up this Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. But before we get into that, there was some good news on the injury report on Thursday. Just a look at the report. There's just names everywhere. The good news is safety Will Parks has been cleared. He is going to play and make his Eagles debut this Sunday against Baltimore, and that's big time. So also Darius Slay limited with that concussion. Hopefully he can get ready for the game on Sunday. Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson once again limited. Those two, at least one, I think, will be expected to make their, not debut for DeSean, but return after 2 weeks of missing games. And Alshon, though, could return and make his 2020 debut on Sunday. But the big one that I'm looking into is Will Parks, because the Eagles desperately need help on that second and third level of the defense, right? They have the best pass rush in football right now. They lead the league in sacks. They're deep on the defensive end and at defensive tackle. But when it comes to linebacker, look, they have the worst linebacking core in the league, and it's not even close. And at safety, you have no talent right now, because they refuse to play Kayvon Wallace. Marcus Epps is terrible. And Jalen Mills has had to move back to corner because Jim Schwartz didn't want to play Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones, so the Eagles had to cut both of those guys. And so you're really thin at corner. Avante Maddox is also injured, wasn't really playing well before that anyway. And then your other depth guys are slot corners, like Cravon LeBlanc and Nickell Robey-Coleman, and then you got somebody like Craig James, who just, to me, does not belong in this roster. I cannot believe he made the team over Zuhl and Sid, but I digress. But with all that being said, you are struggling mightily at linebacker right now. You don't have a lot of talent or depth in the secondary outside of Darius Slay and Rodney McLeod, so getting Will Parks back is going to be huge. Number one, Parks played everywhere across the formation in Denver, and he's going to do that again in this defense. He can play linebacker and nickel and dime packages. He can play in the slot at corner. He can play single high safety. He's got the speed and athleticism to get sideline to sideline, so the ability to rely on Parks now, using him all across the formation, it's going to allow you to not need as many linebackers out there at a time, and it's going to allow you to not need guys like Marcus Epps, and that's really huge. Unfortunately, the one linebacker that I don't want on the field is going to be the one guy that is probably out there every single snap, as he was even against Pittsburgh last week, and that's Nate Geary. But what Will Parks will allow, he's not going to take Geary off the field, but he's going to take out Duke Riley. He's going to take off Marcus Epps. And, you know, Jalen Mills, too, even, is going to probably stay at corner. So Will Parks coming back is huge for the safety position, for linebacker. They've just been abysmal on that second and third level, and teams are really picking on that. And so Parks roaming around the formation is really going to be instrumental to this team. On the defensive side of the football, Parks, especially this matchup, you look at who they play, Lamar Jackson, the most athletic electric quarterback I've ever seen outside of Michael Vick in Philadelphia and in Atlanta. And so that's a matchup. You want to have a guy like Parks roaming around and being able to get sideline to sideline and chase down Lamar. Maybe even if you're going to spy Lamar, you do it with somebody like Parks as opposed to somebody like Nate Geary, right? And they're going to run a lot of play action. They're going to run misdirection on this Eagles defense because the Eagles defense is terrible at defending those key areas. Whereas Parks, though, I think is going to help boost that aspect of the defense. So big that Will Parks will make his debut on Sunday for the Birds. On offense, we'll see if Deshaun comes back. We'll see if Alshon comes back. I think you're going to get Jackson back this week, at least on a limited basis. And so expect it to be Travis Fulgham sprinkled in there with Deshaun. Not sprinkled in. Fulgham's going to be a full-time go. I think Deshaun Jackson's going to be sprinkled in there with John Hightower, with Greg Ward. And then we'll see if Alshon Jeffrey does play. But I'm really looking at Parks based on this matchup. I think that's the big player that's coming back from injury that you're going to get a big boost from. Lane Johnson did not participate today, so that's kind of concerning. If he is not available against Baltimore, it's going to be Jack Driscoll at right tackle. Avante Maddox limited. Matt Pryor did not participate either. I mean, this team, it's just the injury list is like 15 deep. Just really, really tough to handle these kind of injuries, as you guys know as Eagles fans. But there's your injury update for Thursday. Coming up next, I'm going to talk with Kevin Ostreicher of Locked On Ravens. Let's dig into the X's and O's. Let's go behind enemy lines and see what the Eagles are dealing with a red-hot Baltimore Ravens team that seemingly just rolls through everybody in the NFL outside of the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm going to talk with Kevin coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's Crossover Thursday right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This Locked On Eagles podcast is brought to you today by Pepsi. Thanks to the lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
And we are back, Crossover Thursday here for week 6 between the Ravens and the Eagles. Locked On Ravens host Kevin Ostreicher is here with Locked On Eagles host Louis DiBiase. And Louis, this is a game that actually I feel like might be a bit more competitive than I think people are going to give it credit for. The Eagles obviously very injury riddled right now. It seems like that's been the theme over the last few years for this Eagles team. And, you know, especially in this, you know, COVID season where there was no preseason, really limited offseason to get players' bodies in tip-top shape, we've seen all across the league injuries are just taking their toll. So I think that's where I want to start, just with the Eagles injury report, because, you know, people are awaiting the returns of Alshon Jeffrey and Deshaun Jackson. Will we see Lane Johnson this week? Is Darius Slay going to get out of that concussion protocol? How are the Eagles injury-wise so far heading into week 6?
Yeah, it's just like it's been the last 4 years. It's really bad. Last week against Pittsburgh, they went into that game with 7 of 11 players on offense being backups to start the season. Only Miles Sanders, Carson Wentz, Zach Ertz, and Jason Kelsey were out there that were starters because Lane Johnson also went down, as you mentioned. So this team is just always banged up. It doesn't matter if you're young. It doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you have a long injury history or a short one. If you are wearing midnight green in the NFL, if you play for the Philadelphia Eagles, it just feels like they're going to get hurt. And so they head into this Baltimore game very banged up. And yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be competitive, though. I mean, last week they probably had no business pulling that game against the Steelers within two. At one point, it was 31-29. You know, putting up that kind of offensive production with those injuries is crazy. But they're going to have to try to do that again against a really good Baltimore defense. And I think you're going to get back at least one of two when it comes to DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. If I had to put my money on one, I would say DeSean Jackson. Both could be back. I think Lane Johnson is just going to have to play through this pain of this ankle injury. He got surgery on it in August, and I think he'll be ready to go, honestly. He's going to just have to play through it all season at this point. And on defense, the big one is, like you mentioned, Darius Slay. If they don't have Darius Slay in this football game, it's really concerning, because then you really just have a bunch of slot corners and a safety that moved back to corner in Jalen Mills, Craven LeBlanc, a slot guy, Nickell Robey-Coleman, a slot guy. So they're beat up, man. I mean, they're going to have to really pull this one out. I mean, they're going to have to, I don't know how they're going to do it. Every matchup, injuries to added into this equation, scream Ravens as the key favorite in this one. But the Eagles always find a way, man, when they have backups out there to be competitive. It's so damn impressive. I just wish they didn't have to keep doing it year after year, week after week, man. I mean, I just haven't seen this team at full strength in a really long time.
It's always nice to have your stars out there, but in this league, it rarely ever happens. And the Eagles just seem to be on that, you know, the bad side of things when it comes to the injury guys. But I think where I want to go next here, Louie, is with Carson Wentz, a guy who's thrown for 1,188 yards, 6 touchdowns, but 9 interceptions, very turnover prone through his first 5 games here. How has he looked to you this season, and what do you expect from him against this Ravens really elite second?
Yeah, so I was really nervous to start the season. The first 3 games, he looked like a broken player. He looked like a rookie that the game was moving too fast for him. The gears were just working. He was forcing the football at times. He was holding onto the ball too much. His mechanics were bad. Accuracy was terrible. And then suddenly something clicked against San Fran 2 weeks ago on Sunday Night Football. And he looked like the elite quarterback he used to be in 2017, down the stretch last year in 2019. I don't know if it's because there's all the backups out there and now he just feels like he can go out there and play loose and just free ball it like he's playing street ball. And that's honestly when Carson Wentz plays the best, is outside of structure. And but I don't know what it is, but the light seems like it's really turned on the last 2 weeks. And I was so impressed with what he did against the Steelers last week. I mean, that's one of the best defensive fronts in football, if not the best. It's a good secondary too. That defense is good on all 3 levels, and Carson Wentz just wouldn't let that team die. It was 31-14 at one point. He pulled that team within 31-29, and he answered 3 Steelers touchdown drives with a touchdown drive of their own. So Wentz has really bounced back, and that's big time, because I was concerned. He looked like a broken quarterback, but now he's decisive. His mechanics look way better. He's accurate on all 3 levels, and he's being the Carson Wentz we used to know, where he's not hesitating to get outside the pocket. You guys know, with Lamar Jackson, Carson Wentz's mobility, that's what makes him special. It's what made them want him over Jared Goff in 2016. And you could tell before the first 3 games of the season, even when he would do it versus staying in the pocket, you could see him thinking way too much after the snap, and now it's all just muscle memory, and that's when you know he's in a groove. And so the numbers don't look great because of that rough start of the first 2.5 games, I'd say, but I've loved what I've seen from that last quarter against the Cincinnati Bengals to the Niners game to the Steelers. Wentz has looked really good. So it looks like for now the Eagles do not have a quarterback problem heading into this Baltimore game.
Right, and it's a good thing that Wentz has been able to pick up the pace for him over the last few games, but I think part of that is the offensive line, and for any quarterback, part of their success works with that offensive line, and you mentioned it, Louie. The Eagles have had their woes in terms of injuries with the offensive line. Brandon Brooks obviously lost before the season, right after signing an extension, too. That was a brutal blow, and if Lane Johnson isn't able to go in this one, that's 4 offensive linemen who are supposed to be starters who are not going to be out there for this game against the Ravens, with Jason Kelce, I believe, being the lone one there. So what have you seen out of the offensive line, not only with the starters, but with these backups that have had to come in and play significant snaps?
Well, that's the point, too, is, you know, as bad as Carson Wentz was on his own, like, not excusing how bad he was the first 3 weeks, because he was just terrible on his own, but at the same time, a quarterback that has to elevate fifth and sixth string wide receivers and four or five offensive linemen being backups. A lot of guys are going to struggle in that scenario. But at the same time, I've been really impressed the last 2 weeks, actually, with these backups. Jordan Mailata at left tackle, Nate Herbig and Matt Pryor inside at the guard positions, and then Jack Driscoll, the rookie fourth-round pick out of Auburn, stepping in pretty well for Lane Johnson at right tackle. Last week against guys like T.J. Watt and Stephon Tuitt and Bud Dupree, this offensive line really held their own, and they're all rookies and young, inexperienced second- or third-year players, and then Jason Kelce in the middle, but they've actually done a pretty good job of protecting Wentz against some tough matchups, and they're going to have to do it again, though, against Baltimore. I don't know if they're going to be able to continue to do this, but I've actually been pretty impressed with the young kids. It's just, how long will that last? I'm not sure. It's really tough to continue that kind of success when, like you mentioned, Brandon Brooks gone, Lane Johnson gone, Jason Peters gone, Isaac Seumalo out of the lineup, Andre Dillard. That's six players that you expected to be key up front, which was an elite unit for the Eagles over the last couple years, that are just gone. And the Ravens have a good front four. So it's a matchup that, while I've been impressed with the young kids the past couple weeks, it's a matchup I'm going to continue to be concerned about week after week when this inexperienced starting lineup is out there. I mean, so until, hopefully they get Lane Johnson back on Sunday. If not, though, it's the kids versus the Ravens front.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned the Ravens front four. I kind of want to flip the field here and talk a little bit about the Eagles defense. And the Eagles front four, they can get pressure on the quarterback. Brandon Graham and Josh Sweat currently tied for the lead in sacks on the team with three. You have Derek Barnett you have to worry about, Jannard Avery, obviously Fletcher Cox as well, one of my favorite interior defensive linemen in the entire league. But beyond that, Louie, how has this defense looked for the Eagles through 5 weeks?
So it's kind of been a mixed bag. I've been really impressed with the front four. I mean, it's super deep, as you mentioned. They have three legitimate pass-rushing defensive tackles with Cox, Javon Hargrave, Malik Jackson. Brandon Graham's as good as he always is, and they've gotten a lot out of their young guys, Derek Barnett, Josh Sweat, even Jannard Avery in spots. So I've loved what I've seen from the pass rush. But then on that second level, and this is what I'm really nervous about with Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews, that matchup, the Eagles have the worst linebacking core in the league, and it's not even close. And they got exposed last week by the Steelers. Nate Geary is just, I can't believe he's still a starting linebacker for this football team. Honestly, I can't believe he's still on the roster. And that's a mismatch teams continue week after week to exploit. And the secondary, too, they don't have a lot of safety talent right now because Will Parks has been banged up, and they refuse to play Kayvon Wallace, their rookie out of Clemson. And so outside of, I loved what I've seen from Darius Slay in the front four, but outside of that, I think Jim Schwartz, their defensive coordinator, has just not done a good enough job. The second level is the worst in the league, and the secondary has been very inconsistent. So I'm nervous about this matchup. The defense really let them down last week against the Steelers, allowing 38 points, and they just struggle with the same things, man, over and over again with Jim Schwartz as their defensive coordinator. When it comes to misdirection, you know, they were getting destroyed with those wide receiver reverses last week to Chase Claypool, play action, any sort of misdirection, pre-snap motion, this defense really struggles with. They just don't have a lot of discipline. It's the same talking points on our podcast over and over again. And so that, honestly, it's weird because the offense is the unit that's really banged up, and you would say, how are they going to produce against this Ravens secondary in front? But I'm more nervous about the defense just because the issues, there are issues that honestly they've continued throughout the years, regardless of your personnel.
Yeah, this will be a big test for the Eagles defense. I agree, Louie, but also I think a test for the Ravens offense because they have to kind of stifle that big Eagles pass rush. And if they can do that, like you kind of mentioned, they can get Mark Andrews open against his linebacking crew. And I think that it could be a big day for him. I mean, it always is with Mark Andrews. Very few times does Mark Andrews get absolutely stifled, but teams are starting to throw two, three, even four guys at him. But we're going to head into our break here. And when we get back, we'll be flipping the script and Louie will be asking me questions about the Ravens. So stay tuned for that. And we will be right back.
Today's podcast is also sponsored by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar out there. 18 awesome flavors. The 12 original. You got six new ones, guys. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. It's a healthy alternative to your everyday snack. 19 grams of protein, only 180 calories in every bar. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get 20% off your next order. That's right, 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Today's Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Roman. It can be awkward or embarrassing to talk about erectile dysfunction. Usually we brush it off or blame ourselves, but Roman is here to get you the advice you want and the help you need with no shame. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/lockedon and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about. Now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to getroman.com/lockedon to get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. Again, that's getroman.com/lockedon for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. getroman.com/lockedon. All right, everybody, welcome back into Crossover Thursday right here on the Locked On Eagles and Locked On Ravens podcast. I am Louis DiBiase of Locked On Eagles alongside Kevin Ostreicher of Locked On Ravens. All right, Kevin, so we got a lot into the birds there. Well, the Eagles, I should say. You guys are also the birds and the Ravens. I'm so used to calling the Eagles the birds. On both sides of the football, talking Eagles offense, Eagles defense. Let's get into Baltimore side, man. I mean, this is, once again, one of the best football teams in the NFL, outside of the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, this team has been able to dominate really every opponent they play. I have been such a huge Lamar Jackson fan over the years, really since, honestly, I watched game one against Auburn when he was at Louisville as a freshman, and he just looked special. He looks like a former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, the closest thing I've ever seen to Michael Vick. What have you seen from Lamar Jackson? Like, I know, obviously, he won the MVP last year. He put himself on the map. So everybody knows Lamar is one of the best quarterbacks in football. But this year, what have you seen from him? Has he taken a step up in certain areas? What are the Eagles going to be seeing in this kind of quarterback? Because, really, they haven't seen this kind of player all year yet. And that's what I'm kind of nervous about with the Eagles defense really struggling already to stay disciplined. Now to play an explosive athlete like Lamar is very concerning, but just overall, what has Lamar been like so far to start this season?
Yeah, Lamar Jackson has been, I think, what you would probably call a mixed bag. Yes, he won the MVP in 2019, but what we've seen from him is he went into the offseason, the 2020 offseason, looking to improve on his deep ball accuracy and looking to improve on throws outside the hashes. And we saw a bit of what he could do in week one against Cleveland. The Ravens blew out the Browns 38-6. Lamar Jackson was firing on all cylinders. But on the season, 949 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Both of those have come in the last 2 weeks at the end of halves. Just a little tidbit there. But we haven't seen the connection with his wide receivers and with the passing game outside of Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown. Jesse Bates, the Bengals safety, after the Ravens played the Bengals last week and beat them 27-3, said that going in, the Bengals knew exactly what the Ravens wanted to do on offense in the passing game, and that was throw the ball to number 15, who's Marquise Brown, and number 89, who's Mark Andrews. And I mean, that's literally exactly what Lamar Jackson did. They combined for over 100 yards, while the rest of the Ravens, pass catchers combined for, I believe, 7 receptions for 47 yards. There is a lack of talent around Lamar Jackson right now in the past game, and part of it is because the Ravens aren't running the ball as effectively as they were in 2019. Now, some stats on that run game: they're number 1 in yards per carry, number 2 in total rushing yards, number 3 in yards per game, rushing yards per game, number 6 in first downs by rushing, and number 8 in rushing attempts. So you hear that and you're like, well, what's the problem? That those are all good stats. Mm-hmm. The issue is it's situational to the point where Greg Roman, seemingly the offensive coordinator, has taken a step back and received a lot of criticism for his play calling. And I think part of it is the Ravens know they can beat teams on the ground. They showed it in 2019. They've showed it to an extent in 2020. But they want to show teams that they can beat them throwing the football. And in situations like this, for example, against the Bengals, the Ravens, 4 seconds into the second quarter, had put up 17 points. For the remaining 3 quarters, they put up 10 points, 7 of which came from the defense. So really only 3 offensive points. Lamar Jackson as a whole, he didn't practice for 2 days last week. He had the death of a close friend on Sunday morning. So obviously, you know, the game against Cincinnati, it was up and down for him. But we saw the goose egg he laid against the Chiefs. It wasn't a very good game. It's been up and down for him, but I have confidence he'll improve on his game over the next few weeks, especially because the Ravens are starting to see the strengths and weaknesses of this team, and they're going to get it ironed out. But so far for Lamar Jackson, they haven't used him as a runner as much as I think a lot of people would have expected. Only 41 carries, 41 carries for 238 yards and one touchdown. Only two carries for 3 yards last week. They are committed to passing this football, and I think we might see more of that against the Eagles.
Yeah, Kevin, let me tell you, I apologize to my listeners for the kind of negative approach here, but I am terrified of this matchup because I just think when you look at Lamar's style of quarterbacking and you look at the tight end you guys have in Mark Andrews and the linebacking core the Eagles really don't have right now, honestly, most of the linebackers the Eagles hopefully would have had by now are on the Ravens. I mean, I would have been okay with them drafting Patrick Queen in the first round. The Eagles used to have LJ Fort, and they cut him for nothing before even giving him a chance, and now he's a good starting linebacker for you guys. I just look at that matchup, and that is what I'm really concerned with. Do you think that's the one Baltimore's really going to keen in on is, you know, as you mentioned, they love to throw to number 89. I think they're just going to really go after those Eagles linebackers, and that could be the difference in this game. It has been really for the Eagles all season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're going to go after that matchup a lot, and part of it is because they just trust him so much. Lamar Jackson has such good chemistry with Mark Andrews, and we've seen Lamar Jackson fit balls into tight windows with Andrews. There are three guys on him, four guys on him. In the end zone, Miles Boykin actually cut wide open on a crosser last week against the Bengals, and he just completely overlooked him and waited for Mark Andrews to get wide open in front of him, but it never happened. Mark Andrews had a guy literally glued to him. Lamar Jackson threw that thing in there anyway. Mark Andrews made a phenomenal catch. The chemistry between Miles Boykin and Lamar Jackson is shot right now. There's not a lot of people on this team Lamar Jackson trusts more than Mark Andrews. The only other I could think of is Marquise Brown. So what I think the Ravens are going to do in this matchup, Louie, is they're going to try to work Mark Andrews open in the middle of the field, and I think they're going to try to open that field by sending Marquise Brown deep, forcing the Eagles to put that safety over the top, so that opens up the middle of the field a little bit more. And Mark Andrews, he's such a matchup nightmare, not only for linebackers, but also for safeties. He has deceptive speed, not the fastest guy in the world, I will give him that, but he is somebody who can beat you in multiple different ways. Does struggle with drops once every here and there. But for the most part, the Ravens, without Hayden Hurst now, who's in Atlanta, the Ravens traded him away. Nick Boyle might be a factor here as well. They've used him a little bit more as a pass catcher than in recent years. Only six catches for 30 yards in a score, so not numbers that are going to blow you away. But Lamar Jackson loves those security blankets, and I think I'd look out for that matchup definitely.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of situations where they try to isolate those linebackers and guys like Jalen Mills, who are very undisciplined, where they get Lamar rolling, whether it's through play action, you know, some pre-snap motion as well, get him outside the pocket, and have the Eagles linebackers kind of have to decide, all right, are you going to come downhill and go after Lamar because you know how mobile he is? And if you do, though, are you going to leave guys open in coverage? It's something teams have been able to really go after the Eagles defense and have success with in 2020. Before I move over to defense real quick, I want to ask you a question, Kevin, just about your guys' offense. One of the big criticisms is this offense can't play from behind. When the Ravens have a lead, they're like the best team in football. But when they don't, it's really hard for them to come back. And some people, you know, kind of go after Lamar when they're using that point of, I would say, criticism. But for me, there's just nothing in Lamar's game that says he doesn't have the ability to play from behind, considering how improved he's been as a passer inside the pocket, you know, down the field, like you said, deep ball accuracy. I personally believe it's just that they haven't done enough when it comes to weapons on the outside. They just don't have enough to get back into ball games when they have to throw 40 to 50 times. Am I right in that assessment that it's more so the personnel around Lamar? Or why do you think it is that this team struggles playing from behind? Not that they're going to have to against the Eagles, but if they do, why is it that Baltimore struggles in that kind of game scenario?
Yeah, I think for a multitude of reasons, and for one, you do look at the personnel, and I think the Ravens need to address the issue of not having enough weapons around Lamar Jackson. If Marquise Brown goes down for, let's say, a month or a month and a half, Mark Andrews, same thing, the passing offense is going to be in such a hole. They need to go out and acquire another wide receiver, another tight end who can help them, but in terms of playing from behind, honestly, a lot of the blame has focused on Greg Roman again and his play calling. Now, Roman is a genius offensive coordinator, a huge, huge reason for the Ravens' turnaround in 2019. Literally completely redesigned the offense for Lamar Jackson. But what you have is a coordinator who seems to get away from the bread and butter of this team too early in situations like that, and that's the run game. And when you're down, you have to throw the football. You know, you can't just run the ball every single play, bleed the clock. That's not how it works. But in games, you know what? I'll bring it back to the painful loss against the Titans in the playoffs. The Ravens weren't down by that many points, and it just seemed like Lamar Jackson was dropping back every single play. I believe the number was over 70 dropbacks for Lamar Jackson in that game. In a year where the Ravens led the NFL in rushing, where a historic rushing offense, Greg Roman completely abandoned it. And then we go to Kansas City, where Kansas City traveled to Baltimore in week three this season. Again, the Ravens only down by 10 points, by 7 points at times, and there were just three straight passes that led to three and outs. And yes, passing the football is important when you are down, but you have to establish a run game in order to open up your passing game, and to an extent, it hasn't happened when the Ravens are down. The Ravens also haven't had a ton of experience playing from behind in the last 2 years. They've either been blowing opponents out by 40 or bleeding the clock down. So their style is when they get up on you, when they're up by 14 points, when they're up by 17 points, they can take 10 minutes off the clock and literally render the opposing offense useless for almost a quarter. But when they're down, Lamar Jackson does need more people to throw the football to. And I think at the trade deadline, we might see the Ravens make a move for either a wide receiver or a tight end who can help them.
Kevin, this Baltimore Ravens defense is tied for second place this year in takeaways. They are talented on all three levels. I love your guys' cornerback trio. Very jealous of Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith. Jealous of your linebackers with Patrick Queen and LJ Fort. You guys got a good front four, too. This unit's special. I think that's kind of the key here is the Eagles offense. Look, it's always going to be hard for them to produce consistently. Like, I was surprised they did it as well as they did last week just because of all the injuries, but especially against another great defensive unit like Baltimore. I think a key is not letting that Ravens defense be opportunistic and force turnovers because, look, the Eagles defense, they're going to have to win. They're going to have to try to win this game for the Birds. They failed in that area miserably last week, and they're not going to be able to do that with short fields. I think that's the key, really, for this Eagles offense is just to play smart football against, again, a very opportunistic defense. Baltimore is second in the NFL in turnovers this year with 10.
Yeah, absolutely. This Ravens team is fast to the football. They will rip the ball out. I mean, we've seen Marlon Humphrey, the star corner who just got paid. His play has only elevated since that $98 million contract. He has been phenomenal. He has the fruit punch. Everybody remembers Charles Tillman with that peanut punch. Well, Marlon Humphrey now has his fruit punch. He goes for the ball almost every single play that he's in on and sometimes prioritizes it over tackling, and that's a gamble that he takes. This Ravens defense gambles, and Marcus Peters might be the king of all gambling with his absolutely crazy football IQ. We'll try to bait these quarterbacks into throws that they would never usually make, and it all pairs up with Don Martindale and his exquisite and absolutely terrifying blitz schemes. It's just amazing. He can send 8-9 guys up to the line, and only three guys will end up rushing the passer. The next play will do the same thing, and every single person will come. He'll drop his linebackers into coverage. He'll drop Calais Campbell, who's a 6'8 mountain, into coverage. He'll blitz both safeties at the same time while dropping everybody on the front four. He does everything. But what makes this Ravens defense so opportunistic and how they're able to force so many turnovers is because they're just smart about it. Usually when the Ravens are up, we kind of talked about when the Ravens are up versus when the Ravens are playing from behind. They like to give you stuff. They'll give you the small stuff and, you know, not it's a bend, don't break situation. But they'll have these one or two huge splash plays every week. It was an A.J. Green stopping on a route where Marcus Peters was able to pick off a ball, a Marlon Humphrey punch out. The Ravens' defense is deep, and you mentioned the cornerback trio. Well, it was a quartet with Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith, and also Tavon Young alongside Marlon Humphrey there. Tavon Young was lost for the year. Third time in 5 years out of Temple. The Ravens, they're so deep, and part of the reason that's so helpful for them is that they don't have to throw guys out there for 100% of snaps, save their snaps, especially on the front when that offensive line has been in there for 95, 100% of the snaps. The defensive line has only been in there for 65, so they're fresh and they're ready to go. Baltimore, they do so many things well on defense. It's just a matter of staying disciplined, playing their game if they do get behind, and not shifting away from what has been successful for them.
Yeah, the Eagles need to take what the Ravens give them. They need to be opportunistic in their own right on third downs and in the red zone. They're normally an elite offensive unit in those key critical areas, or at least with Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson running this offense. So they just cannot allow the Ravens to capitalize on turnovers. Kevin, it's going to be a fun game. Again, the Eagles really don't match up well in any area because of all the injuries and because you guys just have a loaded roster. But I still think it's going to be a close game. And when you have Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson in that kind of pass rush the Eagles have, I think you're always going to be in these football games. And so I'm excited to watch two of my favorite quarterbacks go at it head-to-head, Carson Wentz, Lamar Jackson. It's going to be a fun battle, and it's a pretty important one for both. I mean, your guys' division's loaded. You guys have to stay toe-to-toe with the Steelers and the Browns, and with the Eagles, they're 1-3-1, but they're only a half a game out of first place, so this is a big game for both, just in very different ways in their division.
Yeah, two very different divisions in terms of records, but still, yeah, you can't discount any opponent in the NFL. I mean, regardless of the records, regardless of who matches up where, I still think this is going to be a very competitive game. I never want to get ahead of myself and say, oh, Baltimore's going to win by 40, Baltimore's going to lose by 40, because teams go out there and they pull upsets. Baltimore has a history sometimes of playing down to opponents. So whether the Ravens match up with the Eagles well, whether they don't, I still think this is going to be a really exciting game. Two really good quarterbacks, and also two pass rushes that might surprise you on Sunday.
Yeah, it's crazy. The Bengals would actually be tied for or close to first place in the NFC East, and they're last in your guys' division. So that's just the way the NFL is, man. Sometimes, or at least that's life in the NFC East. Kevin Allstriker of Lockdown Ravens. I'm Louis DiBiase of the Lockdown Eagles podcast. This has been Crossover Thursday on the Lockdown Podcast Network. Your team every day. You can follow me on Twitter at DiBiase, L-O-E. You can subscribe to the Lockdown Eagles podcast on any podcast platform. I also post all the shows on LockdownEagles.com. Kevin, let's get your plugs in, too. Where can everybody find your stuff?
You can find me on Ravens Wire. I write for them. And also, you can follow the Locked On Ravens Twitter account at Locked On Ravens. And then my personal account is at KOstriker34.
Eagles fans, Ravens fans, thank you so much for tuning into Crossover Thursday. Kevin will be back tomorrow, as will I. This has been the Locked On Eagles and Locked On Ravens podcast. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and have a good night.